Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grez.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Sixth Wars, Heat F. Or even when the robots are, even when this episode is relatively effing dull, it's pretty good.
Yes. I know, it's just the another case of the constant heartbreak that we have to suffer for some of our favourite robots that just never get anywhere. I think that sentence made sense.
I'm sure it made sense to someone.
But that we will discuss as we move on in the episode.
Unfortunately, and as we've said before, the intro thing just doesn't work.
Oh yeah, because it spoils everything.
Because that's the thing. Even if you did the last week.
Yeah, that would work better.
That would work better. You know, if you have to show clips from Robot Wars, show clips of. Last, you know, the first week, okay, fair enough, you maybe couldn't do that, but...
Mm-hmm. Or just show, like, the final of the last season, then. Like, just show Razor winning the world title, and then be like, Razor's back tonight.
Exactly, yeah, there's plenty of options.
Because, like, showing things like, you know, Thermidor in the pit, and then another robot getting dumped on top of it, is like, huh. That says to me that Thermidor's going out in the first round. Oh, wait, he does.
Yeah. Oh, no, you can tell from the opening. And the worst part is, it's not just the videos at the start. It's the videos at the start, opening credits, and then it shows you highlights of what you're about to see.
Yeah, so you get spoilers at the start of this episode, and then they're like, oh, Thermidor's back. Will he manage to survive? Well, no, you just showed me him in the pit. So I don't really know what you're expecting of me here. Like, honestly, it gets to the part, like, even though we know, like, who wins a season, obviously we know who wins every fucking season when we go into this, but still, like, that doesn't mean we know offhand who wins every fucking fight, every episode, yada yada yada. So, like, I'm still going into this with a bit of, I've seen this episode, haven't seen this episode in a while, don't tell me who wins. And let me be shocked. And it's a bit hard to do that when they bombard you with spoilers at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah. So, let's spoil the episode for anyone who hasn't watched it with the opening contest.
From Darby, Chompsalot.
So, Chompsalot is a box robot with a front hydraulic claw and... with fancy wings that also fire, and probably the most beautiful thing in the robot, but we never get to see working, either in this or even when it comes back.
Ooh. From Norwich, Thermidor 2.
I mean, it's kind of just the same same rinse and repeat robot at this point, which I think is maybe starting to be to its detriment.
I still love him, though.
I love him, too, but it's... I'll put it this way. This is the second time it's faced Stinger, and it's nowhere near as effective as the first time it did.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, from Lincoln, seeded number 11, Stinger.
This one hasn't evolved, but that's because there's very, very few ways that it can evolve, just by definition. That said... I'm going to say something controversial here. I think this might be one of the most successful Axe robots in Robot Wars history.
It's the most successful Thwackbot.
I don't think it's a flak bot.
But it's not an axe bot, because an axe would imply, you know, like, movement of the axe independently, which, I mean, technically that is what Stinger does, but...
I know where you're coming from, but I would say that this robot does count as an axe bot.
It's just, do you know what I'm literally looking at it under is Season 7 rules and the fact that Stinger wasn't allowed to come back because of the new rules.
I have to be honest, if we... I don't think that Robot Wars knows its own rules half the time at this stage.
I know, and I think that's, like, Stinger should be the exception to that rule. Because it does have a moving weapon, whether it's fucking moved by a motor of some kind or what have you, or it does the big thwacky axey weapon moves independently, like it's its own thing. Like I don't understand. Like anyway, you're right. Like it probably is arguably one of the best of its very rare kind of bot. Well, maybe Gabriel shows up in the reboot.
See, I don't even think it's like Gabriel, though. That's the thing. Because Gabriel is still, like, the axle and the weapon are one solid unit.
Mm.
This isn't. That's what I mean. It's basically, it's more akin to, quite frankly, and this will seem like if Huge had an axe instead of a spinner?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
A little bit, but even then I would still say Huge is more like Gabriel than Stinger.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that... In all honesty, like, you want to get fucking deep into this, like, Stinger is probably more like Starchild is from the most recent season of BattleBots.
Right. I'll be honest, I've not seen Starchild.
Hmm.
Well, anyway.
Maybe between episodes, try and look up what it looks like, and you'll get more of an idea.
Will do. Anyway, I believe there's two more robots left. So one more robot left.
One more. From Leicestershire, 13 Black.
Oh, this is such a unique design.
I love it.
I love it too. So it is a two-wheel robot with two spinners. The one issue it maybe has is those two spinners appear to be made of paper mache.
Mm-hmm. They fragment a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep an eye on 13 Black like next season, because I want to know if like it changes the kind of way that the discs are made. Because they look as if they're meant to do so much more damage than they end up doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like, you kind of look, paper mache this, but holy shit.
But like, I just love the aesthetic as well. It's like, it's a very gimmicky robot. Like, so much so, like, you know, it's got like the roulette wheel, which is badass. And then it's got two discs, which is badass. It's a very likable, like, little gimmick robot.
Mm-hmm. This match, early on, it's kind of... It's a very strange battle. It's not quite clear who's coming out on top. And then Thermidor 2, just kind of out of nowhere, a wheel goes.
Yep. And Stinger comes very, very close to driving in the pit.
Oh, aye.
So 13 Black hits the pit like quite early on, and Stinger is just like right on the lip dancing. It's like, get the fuck away from there.
Stinger has a history of this.
Oh yeah.
Meanwhile, 13 Black. So at first, Chompsaw actually comes out ahead between 13 Black and themselves, and then just over time, the spinners just start to eat away at the sides.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, after Thermidor's counted out, it manages to miraculously start moving again and then just jumps down the pit to prevent from getting attacked by Killalot and Dead Metal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even Stinger in this match is struggling.
Yeah, Stinger is just... Stinger almost kind of... It doesn't really do... Well, at first you don't think it's doing much. And then it just comes... It more goes through by survival. Then you find out, no, that's what fucked Firmador too.
Yeah. That was like the one thing it done in this match.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting because, like, definitely by the end of the fight, Stinger is stuck in place. And it's just that thing of, like, if Chomp-Salot was able to keep moving, then we would have had Thermidor and Stinger go out in this fight. And the two newer robots would have went through.
But hey, at least we get to see a dragon fly.
Have you ever seen a donkey fly?
No,
you've clearly not seen Shrek 1 then.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
So, yeah, so last line of my notes literally says Stinger got through by the skin of his teeth here.
Oh, yeah, it survived rather than winning.
But, okay, so 13 Black and Stinger advance to round 2, where they will meet the two winners of this next four-way.
Yep. Maestro?
From Middlesex, Fluffy.
So the plastic spinner bot, kind of early what would later become the kind of carbide tombstone design. Yeah, I'm a fan of this robot. Unfortunately, it is more... Is this not the robot that won a Annihilator?
Possibly. I feel like it did.
But didn't really succeed anywhere else.
Well, you want to talk about people that won Annihilators?
I wonder what I'm setting up here.
The win Annihilators?
No, it didn't win an Annihilator. I'm thinking of someone else.
Oh, was it Disco Inferno?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. Because, like, funnily enough, the second that you started describing Fluffy, it's like, is he talking about Disco Inferno?
Yeah.
Well, nevertheless, speaking of people that do only well in Annihilators, from Birmingham, Can Opener.
I love Can Opener. It is one of my favourite robots in Robot Wars history. Unfortunately, it is completely ill-suited for the Robot Wars 4-way elimination format.
I know there's not many robots that you can say are exactly well-suited, because, I mean, it is difficult having robots coming at you from all sides. Mm-hmm. And it literally goes to show, especially for a robot like Can Opener, whose one thing is grip you in the claws and maneuver you around. As soon as you have somebody in your claws, you know, your maneuverability is a bit, you know, stunted.
Yeah.
So, anyway, when we get into the fight, like, that's exactly what happens to them. From Herefordshire, Double Trouble.
So...
Who let Shredder back in?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Think Shredder, except, I mean, I can't exactly say worse. Can't exactly say better. More graffitied.
It's what happened was they threw Shredder out of the bin, and then a couple of punks found it lying around, and they decided to resurrect and enter Robot Wars with their trash bot. This is not the most trashy looking bot that we'll be covering in this trilogy of recordings.
No. And from Essex, Demolition Man.
He is tall. He has saw wheels. He has an axe over the top of his head. And he has a lifting fork causing multiple weapon syndrome.
And helmet.
Yes.
And they keep going on about, like, oh, Demolition Man's the tallest robot in Robot Wars when it points its axe up vertically. And it's like, One, that's like not that impressive. And two, we have had Fat Boy Tin.
And it has another issue, which is that it is very, very grippable. Because Can Opener gets a hell of a grip on it. And unfortunately for Can Opener,
that leaves his butt exposed.
It leaves the whole thing vulnerable. So Fluffy and
Double Trouble,
Double Trouble just rip pieces off the side of it.
Well, they just take turns.
Yeah.
Which is like the only time you see Double Trouble's weapons actually work in this episode.
And it's a shame. And this is what I mean, but if it could get out of these matches, I actually think it would be very hard to beat.
Yeah.
But they're never going to.
No. Not when you're putting with bots like Fluffy.
And also, we are kind of getting towards the peak of the spinner meta.
Yes. I know. I mean, it goes to show here, like, Fluffy essentially, like, goes right around one side and just lets, like, the spinning blade take Fluffy around Can Opener.
Yeah.
That's grim. So, really, other than that, like, Can Opener's gripped to Demolition Man, and then Fluffy comes in with the big shot that just rips, like, a whole side of Can Opener open. And so Can Opener's dead, but it's still kind of stuck to Demolition Man.
Yeah, it's just got this... It is like, you can also see Demolition Man, like, ew, get it off me, get it off.
I've got a corpse attached to me.
To be fair, not for long. The second Can Opener's separated from, they're not looking much better.
No. No, and it's just the spinner double team of Double Trouble and Fluffy just dissecting Can Opener.
Yep.
So both are counted out, and Can Opener gets flipped, and then Demolition Man gets hit with a trash can.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. The drop zone is still a thing. And they've already started with the stupid shit. I thought they took longer than this to get to the stupid shit.
Me
like,
too.
At least if it was like bowling balls or even stuff like, if you wanted to do a comedy thing, an anvil.
Yes, that would be hilarious. I'd totally be all over an anvil.
On it.
Yeah. Or like Robot Wars, but in like Acme style writing.
Yeah.
So you don't get sued.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely, stuff like that. Or a piano.
A piano is maybe a little too silly, but yeah, I get your meaning.
Yeah, but it's just like dumping a trash can. That's not going to do anything. Like, the whole point of like the drop zone is for it to be like, I don't know, something exciting, like a fridge or a washing machine or a dryer, like something that would probably add that extra little oomph onto the end of your career.
Right, I don't know how you do it. Basically have almost like the Sentinel, and there's a claw that, instead of like the floor flipper or the drop zone, a claw that reaches down, picks up the robot, and then drops it, like, from 3 meters up.
I mean, remember, like, the Sentinel was, like, very briefly in season 2? Like, in the battles, it was just kind of in the corner, fucking about.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. Fluffy versus Stinger.
Oh dear.
Oh, this is one of these right. This is a weird one. Stinger has
it happens
a flat
again.
Tire really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, you think, oh no, Fluffy's got them. You know, Fluffy's all over Stinger. Stinger's just looking a bit erratic.
Yeah.
And then it does seem to kind of get a bit of control back.
Yeah, it's like it gets a second wind and manages to start moving about again. I can't help but feel as if, like, if Fluffy would have just left Stinger, it might have won.
And I've also put here, so Fluffy drives over the Flimpit and it knocks out their weapon.
Yep.
And at this point, you see Stinger almost kind of go, he's vulnerable, and just start swinging for them. And is doing that, I mean, it's one of the issues of a blunt impact weapon. You don't really see the damage it's doing. It's not until you hit afterwards, I was like, oh no, our electronics were fucked.
Yeah, it smashed everything.
What wouldn't have helped Fluffy? Fluffy drives into the CPZ.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately underneath the hammer. And it's a perfect, you almost see this moment of they stop as Mr. Psycho's weapon is coming down. No, boom.
Oh, yeah, it's the way that Mr. Psycho cornered Fluffy as well. It's just like, haha, I got you now, bitch. Managed to dodge the second one, thankfully, but like, the damage was done.
And then Stinger Stinger's like, I just need to keep hitting them until they stop.
Yeah, it's getting me points. Jab, jab, jab.
And they do get the victory.
Another heartbreaking performance from Fluffy.
Yeah, they didn't have much luck.
Per Fluff.
Meanwhile,
speaking of people with no luck.
Double Trouble, you just look at it and you're like, oh dear.
Let's get this over with quickly. It's pretty much what I thought. It's like, we know what's going on here.
I mean, it's early on. It's kind of like, at first, you're like, Double Trouble's doing okay, Double Trouble. Okay, one of the discs has come off and it's lost its face.
Yeah, I think they even says going into the match that the weapons weren't working.
Or they had to replace the motors for one of the weapons, I think is what they said.
Yeah, but they were definitely not doing very much throughout the fight, I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we get to see the debut of 13 Blacks' infamous spinning move, where it spins up the discs and then starts spinning on the spot.
And you almost see this moment of, come on, no one would be stupid enough to actually, oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's like, no one is going to be stupid enough to actually hit a rapidly spinning pair of double discs and then somehow, some way, someone in Double Trouble thought that was a good idea.
I mean, points for effort, to be honest, because by the end of the fight, one of the discs was down.
Yeah, I mean, it put up a hell of a better fight than it had any right to.
Yeah, I had that in my notes here. It's like, my last note was, I'll give them credit, I thought Trouble was going into a slaughter here. And while it was still a slaughter, it was a slaughter it drove away from.
Yep.
So, yep, points. Points were given.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, needless to say, it's there was a lot of Double Trouble left scattered all over the arena by the time this was done. It lost, as we say, it lost a disc, it lost its front, its side got peeled all the way back. It was grim.
It looked rough.
But it made it to the judges, I think?
Yeah, it was a judge's decision.
Yeah.
But
But yeah, the only reason I didn't take note of the judge's decision is like, it's clear who won.
So Craig Charles is in the Crow's Nest with Jordan Pierce. Every time I see those two in the booth together, I'm just sitting there going, why are they sit? Because they sit so close to one another.
Yeah, but interlocked fucking legs again.
I do kind of wonder if it feels like we're intruding upon a private moment.
I know, because not even when Philip is in the Crow's Nest, is she that close? Yeah. And so it's not even one of those things of them saying it's to get you both on camera at the same time. It just seems to be something that JP and Craig Charles do. It's it's just, there you go. Craig, what if Craig Charles's knees is in between JP's legs, and it's he's trying to scissor me daddy ass here.
Yeah. So anyway, homoeroticism on the other side. So early on, I would actually say, so 13 Black versus Stinger. I would say Stinger is the aggressor early on. And it's going to come and swing in. Now, a small ring comes off when Stinger and 13 Black collide.
Mm-hmm.
John Pierce says it's from Stinger. I'm not so sure. I think it might be a layer of plastic off of 13 Black's disc.
Yeah.
That disc doesn't look as stable the rest of the fight.
Yeah, because 13 Black does have those two kind of top notch bits on top of the discs.
Uh-huh.
And it probably is around that perfect size, to be honest. It's almost the perfect size. It could be one or t'other. But I know it's hard to. That's the thing, is I thought it might have been Stinger, but probably because that's me just going off of what JP said. I suppose it does kind of look like it came off Stinger. It's honestly hard to tell. They even showed it in a slow motion replay, and I'm like, But yeah, it's almost since that kind of moment, though. This is when Stinger. This whole episode just seems to be Stinger can't keep up anymore. Every fight, it's struggled a hell of a lot more than it used to.
I think it's Stinger is a robot. It is incredibly durable. However, you can only be durable. It's durable by season 3 to season 4 standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same problem Chaos 2 has. It's a robot that hasn't needed to evolve. So by the time that it's forced to evolve, it's so far behind that it actually needs something radical to change it.
Yeah. And I wonder if there was a change for season 7 that they were going to do until the said rules change.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to try and find out. But yeah, at a certain point in this match, when Stinger just starts, for the most part, going round in circles again, as it has been the whole episode.
Aye.
And the fight ends with Sir Killalot just gathering both of them in the corner, corralling children. It's like, okay, that's enough.
Yep.
So we get a judge's decision here.
But it's not really that surprising.
No. Even though, Craig Charles asks the crowd, he's like, who do you think won? And they're like, I think they said Stinger.
Well, to be fair, you can hear, one person saying Stinger.
Yeah. See, if you're really going to do something like that, do the whole, if you think 13 Black won, give me a cheer, boy. If you think Stinger won, give me a cheer. Don't just play, who do you think won? And then, people are just going to shout out, Stick the
30 black.
Chaos 2.
One fall.
Boo. So, the judges have made a decision. It's a unanimous decision. And they bet on black.
13 black.
So 13 13 black advances to the semifinals.
So, this calls for some trivia.
Yes, please.
So, Thermidor 2 and Stinger met for the second time. After Thermidor 2 flipped Stinger out of the arena in Mayhem in Extreme 1, this time, however, Stinger qualified and Thermidor 2 did not.
Mm-hmm.
Stinger was the second seeded robot to go out in this war, and the only one to lose the Heat final via the judges.
Mm.
This was Thermidor 2's second consecutive round one departure, as was Can Openers. The Chompalot team had mistakenly left the protective foam on the tip of Chompalot's jaw weapon for this first round battle.
Nice.
Four robots and teams from this heat would later compete in the rebooted series, with Chompalot, Thermidor 2 and Can Opener appearing in Series 8, and Team 13 appearing with Heavy Metal in Series 9.
Meow, meow, meow.
Six of the eight robots in this heat either reached a semi-final or won a side tournament. Only Demolition Man and Double Trouble did not.
Aww.
For some reason, this heat and the previous heat used the Extreme 1 and Series 5 opening titles rather than the new titles introduced to this series.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I've got to be honest, this is an okay episode. And
yeah,
like any other series, this would be a top episode. But I do feel it was kind of...
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Like, that's the thing with this season is I can't say there's been, like, a bad episode as of yet.
No, there's not. Absolutely not.
But... Yeah, wasn't bad. Like it, this again. Like I think I've said it every time that we come on for our season six coverage of when we do our block watch of episodes. It's like these ones tend to fly through, like compared to some previous seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I can fly through three episodes of Robot Wars and not feel like dreading having to then go back and talk about them, I'm calling that a win.
I've got to be honest, I'm dreading next week. Find out why next week!